countdown to the new year has begun in earnest now because it's New Year's Eve.
Merry New Year's Eve,
Brady. Merry New Year's Eve. I don't know what dimension of cube we're on now, but I've kind of lost track now. Hopefully, I am in New York right now.
Yes, you are in New York. It's new, and I've flown over to see you.
You've flown over to record. Where did you fly from? Where are you on New Year's Eve?
I took a direct flight from London. I'm going to be home, except I'm not, because I'm flying out to see you in New York.
Welcome here to the city that never sleeps. Yeah.
It sounds suspiciously like your house still. The ambient sound and Foley work around us still sounds a lot like it's your home, but no, it's not. It's New York on New Year's Eve.
I know. Here, have a hot dog.
Oh, thank you so much. It's delicious.
This is great. All right. So, this pile of Christmas cards is not getting any smaller, Gray.
No, it is not.
What do you got? Oh, I put that one in the list there because it looked vintage and antique-y. It was even sent in like a special piece of plastic.
I picked up the vintage-looking one, but Brady has immediately taken control of the situation.
No, I have no control over it. I'm a real sucker for vintage antique postcards. Like if I go to a secondhand store and stuff, I could, if my wife would let me, spend probably 5 hours in those boxes of old postcards just looking through them. I love looking at old postcards. So someone sent this old sepia postcard and it's like a lake with a mountain in the background. Hello, Brady and Gray. I'm Magnus. I'm writing to you from northern Norway. We have a lot of Scandinavian Tims, don't we?
We do.
Yeah. I was wondering if you two had any thoughts on my country. I think Gray once mentioned he visited. Anyways, I would like to say your show is the absolute best. P.S. This postcard is a picture of my city, Tromsø, in the early 1900s. I live in the valley across the water. P.P.S. Team Rice Rat. That's a lovely, lovely old 1900s Tromsø. There's a lake and a big mountain in the background. Loving it.
It looks very Norwegian.
Have you been, so thoughts on Norway? This is what we've been asked.
I don't have any original thoughts except the same thoughts everyone else does, which is it's gorgeous. I've been a few times. It's beautiful, but I'm also very biased towards Norwegian kind of beauty. I like cold. I like snow. I like mountains. So it's everything I'm looking for. It's gorgeous.
I think it's the only Scandinavian country I haven't been to.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. I must get there.
I was going to say, you need to remedy that.
I want to go to that Troll's Tongue thing where Troll Tongue or whatever it is, where someone held that beautiful picture spot where someone held a nail and gear flag. It's one of the best nail and gear flag pictures we've ever got. That was Norway, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was. You must rectify it. You need to do a hot stop drop at Troll's Tongue.
Maybe I'll do that in a really dangerous place. Yeah,
right. You can tape it over the edge, right? on the other side, you could do something like that.
I'm going to Sweden again soon, but not Norway.
Oh, you can just pop over. It's right next door.
Yeah.
Just a quick pop over.
I can't on that trip. I'm already all locked in, but maybe.
I like that you're very seriously considering it. I could see it.
I would.
Brady does love his antique postcards, which I can verify firsthand from seeing them around in this house.
Yeah.
And as we said at the very start of the 12 days of Hello Internet, Brady is sometimes the gatekeeper for physical objects. And I think antique postcards, it helps catch the Brady eye if you're trying to slide on through the system.
Definitely.
So,
it's a smart move.
It's a pro tip.
It's one of the few cases where a lack of color actually helps catch the eye. So speaking of which, I must show you the golden hot stopper, which is upstairs. It's here in the house.
Oh my goodness, I can't believe it.
Next episode, people.
Okay, yeah, because we're in New York right now.
Yeah, but
when we get back.
Get back tomorrow.
For New Year's.
For New Year's Day.
For New Year's Day.
In the next episode of Hello Internet, I am going to reveal to Gray the golden, and I will get his live reaction. You can hear his reaction as he sees it for the first time. If that doesn't make you listen to the next episode, nothing will. But for now, let's make do with this pile of cards.
I've got another pile of cards.
Yeah. What do you got there?
Now, I was kind of avoiding this one because it also has Flaggy Flag Rebellion on it.
Ooh, yeah.
So I saw this one in the pile, but I'm trying to pick them up randomly and it's like it made its way into my hands. But again, the holiday spirit. So it made its way through. So yeah. Merry Christmas. We have two grown-up reindeer with their nail and gear holiday sweaters.
And one of them seems to have my hair and the other one has your glasses. So that,
yes.
They are us. Nailing Gear sweaters. So they're on brand.
Yes, they are very much on brand. Yeah. And then there's Rebel Rudolph, who's wearing the flaggy flag on his sweater.
Okay.
Let's open it up.
What have we got? It must have something good inside to have gotten through the flaggy flag filter.
Oh.
Oh, I know what that is. That's
like... Oh, yeah. So we have like the sketch that was made by this Tim to create the postcard.
So this Tim actually did the art, and the Tim has included like rough drafts and working sketches that went into its production. And it says here that the one of you is obviously CGP Graindeer.
Ooh.
And they've also put a little sketch note here saying, in my mind, Brady's eyes are always twinkling. So hence, I think I'm supposed to have slightly twinkly eyes. That's why.
Oh, you do. You do have twinkly eyes.
There's a little twinkle in the corner of my eye because my eyes are always twinkling, apparently. This is not true. Normally, they're just very gray, dead, and have big bags under them. But
so this is Becca, who this card is from. Becca also has a real pro tip on here, which I like, that the card is written out, but the question is written in red so we can see it immediately.
As
a very smart move. Yeah. Very smart move there. So the question is, how do you feel about parents making good on holiday threats?
Oh, okay. So if you don't stop, you're not going to get your presents. Or if you don't eat all your dinner, you can't watch TV for a week.
Right.
Hmm.
Or I guess it's like, this is the elf on the shelf blackmail of you're being bad, Santa's not going to come.
Yeah.
Right. How do you feel about parents making good on those threats?
What's the worst punishment you ever got as a kid? Did you ever get threatened with a punishment that stuck, like grounded for a month? Or like what was your crowning achievement of your childhood punishments?
No, the problem, much to my parents' constant bane, is I was relatively unaffected by their punishments. So they would take away things, or I'd have to sit in the corner and I would just sort of sit there until it was. And it, like, my parents seemed to be always annoyed that they weren't willing to go far enough with a punishment that would like actually really bother me. Right. And all of the standard punishments of take away his favorite toy and be like, okay, well, I can't play with that one, so I'll play with my next favorite toy.
Right.
Like, sit in the corner for a while. I was like, okay, I'll just think about some stuff until this is over. So I have heard that for my entire life, my parents' frustration with being able to properly punish me as a kid. So I feel like my childhood, I escaped basically untouched by punishments.
It sounds like they just weren't willing to go hard enough. Like, you really loved computer games and video games as a kid. Yeah, just ban you?
I got banned from the computer, but I always felt like I just sort of dealt with it. Like, okay, this is the way the world is now, and I'll just wait the timer out. So you look like you're unbelieving over there, Brady.
I know. For a guy who, for the last 4 or 5 years, we've been joking as a robot, how can I be shocked by this? but I still somehow am.
What about for you?
I was like, you know, I was pretty naughty and got punished a lot. Got banned from TV a lot, things like that. But did you grow up in a smacking household or a non-smacking household? I know this is such like a controversial subject these days, but, you know.
Like only a couple of occasions when I was a really little kid.
Yeah.
It might have only been once, but it was like, I know my parents are like, I ran out into the road.
Okay.
When I was just I'm just a kid who's too young to understand anything. Yeah. And you see these parents who are like, now, little Johnny, let's explain. It's like, he's two, right? He barely understands your word. He's not a person. So, but I would say essentially an unsmacking household. You?
There was some smacking, which I didn't mind. So that was sometimes a factor. But the punishment that I remember most was one of the chores that my sister and I had to do was clean the kitchen, like, you know, stack the dishes away and wipe down the surfaces and make sure the kitchen was clean at the end of the evening. And we alternated. There was a calendar on the wall and it just had my name, my sister's name, like had a B. And every second day had like a B, B, B. Those were the days I had to do the kitchen. And if it was done really poorly, you would get extra days. Mm, I would have to do the days of my sibling. So,
ooh, that's pretty good. Yeah. That feels like that would be irritating.
But I remember, like, I was sloppy and not good at it. And my mum's a woman of high standards. Mm-hmm. And my sister was very good at doing it. But when I would do it, there would always still be crumbs on the surface. And this was done wrong and that was done wrong. And my mum would, like, lose patience with me and go, that's it, Brady. you've got kitchen duty for a whole week now. And she would go and replace my sister's name with B's on the calendar. So I'd have to do it for a week. Mm-hmm. But this problem then compounded because I was still bad at it. And now there were seven opportunities for me to do it badly. And she would come in like the first day into my week and there'd be another poor performance. That's it, Brady. That's it. Another week.
Right.
Okay. My sister would like be smiling with joy. And I think it got to a stage where I was doing the kitchen for the next 19 years.
Right.
Like day, it, literally page after page of the calendar was just filling up with B, 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 B.
Right.
There's another B, 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 B. And the whole calendar every day for, like, I probably still technically am on kitchen duty right now because the number of B's on that duty. And that would break me. Mm-hmm. That was like soul destroying. Like, you know, doing hard labor and then being told, no, now you've got more hard labor.
I like the idea as well that you're living in filth while this is occurring, right? It's like Brady has to clean the kitchen and the kitchen is never clean, but he gets, it's like, oh, it was here clean. We go.
I wasn't going to bed till it was clean. One of my favorite stories my dad tells, because as you know, and I've made videos about the fact my dad was a soldier and he was in the Vietnam War. He had a mishap one time when he was in a tent and he accidentally discharged his rifle. And that's like seriously... Yeah. That's bad when that happens. He was mortified. He was cleaning it and he'd done something wrong with, you know, the gun in the barrel and it fired out of his tent into the next tent. And these two other chaps were sitting in the tent and the bullet actually went between them and like hit a sandbag, like came within inches of being really catastrophic. So like my dad was in serious trouble for that. You can still tell how bad he feels about it when he tells the story. And he was given the punishment for like when his next lot of leave came, instead of getting to have leave, he had to like, I don't remember what it was, like 12 hours a day or something, just to fill sandbags and like build this wall of sandbags. And it was really, really hard labor. It was a real proper punishment. And he tells the story about, you know, how he learned his lesson and he didn't do it again. But then this little twinkle comes into his eye and he says, I'll tell you what, Brady, I looked like Arnold Schwarzenegger at the end of those 2 or 3 weeks. He says, the muscles on me were unbelievable. I had my biceps and my, he said, I looked absolutely ripped after that punishment. I looked amazing. So. There you go. Punishments. What was the question again?
Well, I was going to say, like, we never really got around to it. And I do have an answer, right? Which is making good on holiday threats.
Yeah.
I think the big lesson with kids is don't make threats you're not willing to follow through on. That totally undermines your ability to extract the behavior that you want from making your holiday threats on kids. So if you're making promises on behalf of Santa that you know is not going to be able to be fulfilled, like you just look like a fool and then your kid learns like, oh, whatever, they're just threatening me all the time. I think the much smarter play is the truth that you as the parent, you do not know the mind of Santa. You don't know what he's up to. And uncertainty can be much more frightening than certainty. Like, well, I don't think Santa would look very kindly upon this behavior.
Right.
And maybe he really needs you to be much better to make up for this. You could play that in a way where the uncertainty is more terrifying than the certainty of he's not coming and then he does.
Was this attitude true also when you were a school teacher, like, and having to wield punishment and threat over students? Like, you know, what am I willing to do? What am I not willing to do?
Yeah. Another terrible lesson I probably shouldn't mention. But yes, I learned, let's say very quickly, I learned that one of the schools I worked for made it very difficult for teachers to follow through on punishments like detentions and things. Just obviously made it an enormous amount of work for a teacher to follow through on a threat. And so I just stopped making any kind of threats at all. But I genuinely think that was a way better policy.
Did you use the uncertainty? I don't know if you're going to get a detention. Who knows what could happen if you do that?
I did sometimes imply uncertainty, but this is again where going back to my favorite Caesar Milan, I feel like I withdrew the threats, but I learned management through personality of like, I'm going to try to keep the thing under control through personality. But yeah. I made a very conscious decision at some point that I'm never going to be like, if you keep that up, you're going to get a detention, because I knew I wasn't willing to go through all the paperwork required to make a detention happen. So I just stopped and it was way better. No threats is better than threats that you don't fulfill.
All right. I feel like we should do one more quick card. Yep. Teams, what have I got here? Very simple card here. Season's greetings.
Ooh, it's beautiful.
Very classic. Dear Dr. Brady Heron, I'd love to do the percentage that have used doctor. Dear Dr. Brady Heron.
It should be 100%.
Here's another thing that's happened a lot, but not we haven't read it much first. It says, Dear Dr. Brady Heron and CGP Grey and Audrey, Lulu, and Mr. Chompers.
A lot of Mr. Chompers.
Yeah. Audrey and Lulu are with us at the moment. Are we in New York still? Here in New York.
yes, here in New York. Yes.
But Mr. Chompers is not, of course.
No, he's back in London.
He is. Happy holidays from Delaware, the first state, in quotes. Apparently that's Delaware's claim to fame, is it? That it's the first state? Were they first to sign something, were they? Or were they first on some list?
I was immediately wondering, like, that sounds like a dubious claim.
You did do your dubious claim, that's when I said that.
It's a bit like the older twin. Like, oh, okay, sure. You get to lord that over people for your 10 seconds of being sooner.
Oh, look what the question is. We're going to have to scrap this one, Greg, because it says, what is your vision for retirement, for your actual old age retirement? Again, we're being asked about retirements. We must have put these cards in the pile separately. Wishing you the best for 2019, your loyal Tim, Darylane. Well, we seem to spend a lot of time talking about our retirement. I don't think we can talk anymore about
it. We can't talk about it anymore.
Our retirement.
We don't have an answer for this question because we've already answered it.
Yeah.
But I do now have a note about investigating this claim of Delaware being the first state. I want to know the details of this.
That is the more pressing matter in this card, I have to say. Delaware. Have you ever been to Delaware?
If I have, I don't remember.
Really?
I may have driven through Delaware.
Isn't that the joke, that Delaware is really boring? Like,
is that the one in Wayne's World? It might be.
I think it was. Yeah.
It probably is.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Delaware. I can't say for certain if I've been there or not been there.
And sorry, Darylane, not only are we not answering your question, we're besmirching your state that you obviously have a lot of pride in because you wrote the first state in quotation marks with a block exclamation mark next to it. So,
but I am a big fan of your very beautiful, minimalistic Christmas card.
It is a nice Christmas card. Where is Delaware? I don't think I could point to Delaware on a map. I'm assuming it's over
it's
like
on the east. It's on the East Coast.
Yeah.
It's on the East Coast, a little south of New York.
South of New York.
But it's a little, it's like tall and thin, so it's just on the coast.
So it's got lots of coastline.
With lots of coastline.
What's its most famous city? Like, what city have they got? What's the capital?
Delaware Tropolis.
Delaware City.
Capital of Delaware.
I was sure you would know that. Can you name one city in Delaware?
Yeah, I just did.
Can you name a real one?
I did name a real one, Brady.
All right. That's interesting, because I think of you as one of those guys who would be able to name like all the capitals. No?
The problem with the capitals is also it's always the one that you don't think it is. But it's like the capitals are picked for these weird political reasons. But no, I can't name any place in Delaware except at the most famous Delaware Tropolis as the city.
Okay. So, I mean, we do have mobile phones with us and we could look it up, but I think it's more fun to not say it and just like drive people crazy, like not knowing the capital of Delaware, because we don't know what the capital of Delaware is, people. We don't know. And we can't hear you saying it right now. You're saying it. We can't hear you saying it. We don't know what it is. We don't know.
And I genuinely think these conversations, they're more fun when you don't look at the phone, right? Is it like... Surely listening to us flounder around knowing nothing about Delaware is way more interesting than if Brady picked up his phone and said, oh, the capital of Delaware is this. And then you go, oh, well, it's just over.
Do you know what the capital of Delaware is, Tim? Do you know it? Are you saying it right now? We can't hear you. We can't hear it. We don't know.
Brady, don't tease the Tims.
Tweet Gray the capital of Delaware.
Yeah, go right ahead. I can't hear you. Well, that's it. That's the last little bit of Hello Internet in 2018. I know some of you want to know when the show is over. You don't like the cold closes. So, this is me now telling you that the show is ending momentarily. I don't think letting you know that the show is about to end is better, but it is the holiday season. So this is my gift to you, those of you who desperately, desperately want there to be an indication that the episode is over. Hello Internet, the 2018 season and this particular episode ends right now.